Excellent. Hello, Gunilla, can you hear me?
Yes, Cheryl, I hear you loud and clear.
And the good news is when I have my microphone off, I'm sure we won't have the echo, but your audio is coming in perfectly. So that's our audio check, which is excellent. And I trust anyone else joins staff will let me know and we'll be able to welcome them. Get out my Skype so that they can back channel and command. Good morning, everybody. My name is Cheryl Langdon Orr, and I'd like to welcome those of you who've managed to squeeze into a ridiculously busy agenda. Keep thinking these agendas at ICANN meetings can't get any more manic, can't get any more packed. And look at that. They've managed to get even more manic and more packed. This one is, I think, bordering on the utterly ridiculous. So I want to thank each and every one of you who've managed to squeeze in the time to join today. Thank the people who are remotely participating and mine. And also note that this was a bit of an experiment day and time. And looking around the room, I would suggest we have not overwhelming success on that experiment, staff, and we might... I know, we tried to do a different day and time so more people could join. And I do think it's a function of not volunteer burnout, but volunteer inability to be in three places at once, if not four places at once, looking at some people's calendars. However, work we're doing with the Cross-Community Committee on Accessibility is important. This is recorded, transcribed and put into MP3, so our words of wisdom, discussions and decisions will be archived and will become part of the art that help ICANN bake into its DNA, to keep quoting Stephen Crocker, everything accessible about what it does day in and day out. Firstly, in terms of the agenda, that's welcome. I'm going to ask for any apologies. Apologies can be sent to staff. We will make sure we note. I'm not going to go around the table and do introductions, but I am going to ask those of you who are sitting in the back, please, if you would come forward to the table. This is not one of those meetings where the chair is going to say, please, unless you have a particular rank and file and serial number, you must sit elsewhere. I would like to have you at the table. Thank you very much. Accessibility is about openness and opportunity, and that includes being able to reach a microphone, at least if you're going to use auditory means of communication. So with that said, we're going to go straight to a particularly important piece of the review of our activities since our last face-to-face meeting in Buenos Aires. That is just to refresh your memories. And if you go to our agenda page, which is not necessarily the one you see displayed here, there should be hyperlinks to our previous meeting. And in that previous meeting, one of the very important things we did was the review of survey, and one particular question that was raised out of the survey was the matter of information and the use of information that we can give in the registration process of meetings to assist accessibility. At this point, I am going to take a breath and hand the microphone. I want to thank her very much. Diane Schroeder is able to join us for very, very brief time today, and I want to give you the floor.
Thank you, Cheryl. So for those of you who don't know the issue at the last meeting for the first time as part of pre-registration, a question was asked about, do you have a disability and require assistance? And we discovered that the people who had checked that box had not received any engagement on it. I went back to see what had happened, and they did find glitch, of course. New things, apologize, and they made a change for this meeting. There is a staff person who has responsibility for registration who is actually now reviewing anybody checks that box. They're getting a personal reach out by email from the meeting staff to inquire what their accommodation they may need. We don't really need to know the disability, need to know the accommodation. Yeah. So to give you a small idea, and this is just pre-registrations, we had 32 people check the box. Those 32 people, four actually had disabilities. The others either said, oops, mistake, or I'd like funding to come to the meeting.
Oh, dear.
So Elise did get us to the four, one of whom has a broken leg. So they have some recent activity that we wouldn't have been aware of. A couple of members of our community that have been with a long time who have special needs we're more aware of. And the meetings team, reached out, made sure they knew where wheelchairs were accessible. They've identified the individual to all of the usher staff so that they can watch for them if they're having trouble and help them on the various floors getting around. They did reach out to each of the other individuals who either said, thank you for acknowledging, I don't need anything at this time. They were told that they could reach back. The usher staff here has also been made aware that anybody that needs assistance of any kind getting around the venue, as a person who is somewhat hobbled, I will say that this is a much easier venue around than many of the places that Cheryl and I have shared freight elevators. Because it was the only way to get from floor to floor without stairs. But I think we've taken a really good step in having the personal reach out from the meetings team, and we'll continue doing that. I had a short conversation about the registration desk and high it was, and they have one lower registration screen there that perhaps because it was busy wasn't seen as easily. But they are also trying to accommodate, making that easier and more accessible also.
Thank you, Cheryl Langdon, off the record again. I'd like to ask just now, while we have Diana for just a moment longer, is there any questions or follow-up that any of you have on this particular of the pre-registration and registration? Oh, okay. One thing I must say as a next up, we are still at registration, highly reliant on a visual interaction with a touch screen. There's nothing haptic, there's a whole lot of little things we might do. But before we get to all that fancy stuff, the ability to have an assist may be quite useful, because just to let people know that not only do we accommodate people who are in wheelchair, but also macular degeneration, all these sorts of things are possible. It is possible with the advanced notice to just have a particular time register rather than them standing at the back of
That's a very good point. And just so you know, one of the four was actually someone who was partially sighted. And so they reached out and asked them how they wanted to do things. The individual commented that it was easier for them to read black and white than color, and may reach out to get handouts done in black and white if they're having a problem.
Right.
And at this point, they haven't heard from him since they've been on site. They'd also have that conversation, not just about registration.
Thank you very much. Satish Babu from Epirelo. I was wondering if, since about 60 to 70% of the community is the same for all meetings, whether you can have a persistent database of people who come under this category so that next time onwards you have them on your record.
So I don't have a strong familiarity with the current software that's being used for registration. I ran the previous system, and it was possible in the previous system that when you type the name, it pre-populated. So I will ask that question. Chris is looking and shaking his head at me with the current system. But we'll make it known we've had a request, and as they're always looking at changing and upgrading things, it may come into the next gen.
Cheryl Langdon, for the record again. Yes, one of my moments of frustration when they almost saw the less pleasant side of me. Now, it's astonishing. There is a less pleasant side of me. Who knew? But it almost started to percolate while I was registering. Now, I registered a long time ago. I know I'm registered in the system. I had to repeat every single thing on my name and email address. Sorry, boys and girls, that's just not good enough. But I think your point is very, very important, particularly when it comes to accommodation for those regulars. Mm-hmm. For example, not have to say when I get to registration, when I get to check-in at my hotel, have you given me a room as close as possible to the lifts? Sometimes that's a yes. So often that is a no. And you're standing there while they go, oh, but then we don't have a room that you don't have to step in and out of the showering. And it just, all this stuff should be so easy to do so early. So I think your perpetual aspects would be very important. I think it is important, however, that even when you think you've got a known me, my condition will change. And it may very well be that between meetings, I need to have someone go, how is current state of play? And that sort of fits in with the person who's fallen at the football and has suddenly broken their femur. I mean, they're new. We're always subject to changes. I think I want to make very clear that we're all really, really pleased with the efforts that have been made. Anything we can do to help make the system run even more smoothly, let us know. We meet at least monthly, always just email the group. But thank you, Dona. Right. Really appreciate it. Oh, sorry, Judith.
Judith Hellestein for the record. Yes, and I also gave Diane, I met her earlier, and I gave her a couple of suggestions.
And I mentioned it if you'll just, that there is one low registration point. My guess is there were a number of people and it may not have been seen when you were there. But I confirmed with them this morning that they do always try to have one at a lower,
and
easier access.
Another suggestion also, I don't know if it was there. What I've seen a lot of the machines have on is they have either a Braille display or actually a talking part that can talk to them, and they can and that's an add-on feature in the software. Braille is on the screen, but then the talking part is in the software, and that helps also people, because what a lot of them want is independence. They want to be able to do everything themselves. And so that's on the registration. And as to comment on Cheryl on the hotel stuff, that often gets faulted because you may send out all information to constituency travel. It just doesn't often get to the hotel. It doesn't make that transfer. And the hotel often may not have that, or may not have it in the correct format that they are using it. And so if you want, in my experience, if you wanted the thing, you have to work directly at the hotel, because a lot of the information you put on the form never gets there.
Understood. And I will say from personal experience, you can tell the hotel any number of times, and you show up at the desk and... You still have to tell the hotel. I have similar issues, so. We should have better tracking on our end of it if we can. So I'll pass all of that along to the individuals who have those personal responsibilities for pieces, and you know, we'll see what we can do about continuing to make improvements.
Okay.
Hello, can I make a comment, please?
Of course. I didn't see your hand in the Adobe Connect. Nobody told you that you had your hand up. Go ahead, Gunilla.
Thank you, Cheryl. Gunilla Aspring for the record. And thank you very much for the work you've done on improving the registration process for people with disability. And we've already heard some additional suggestions. May I also suggest that for the IDF, the Dynamic Coalition on Accessibility and Disability, have put a lot of effort into accessibility guidelines for IDF meetings. And that includes hotels, accessibility of a venue, all different types of things that could be useful to refer to. So I will send a link to that, and that might be a good reference document. Thanks.
Thank you for making me aware of it. That's terrific, and I will make sure the people doing the planning are also aware of it. And go through it to see if I have any questions.
Thanks, Gunilla, and thanks once again, Diane. Cheryl Langdonor for the record again, and actually just one day I'm going to say Cheryl Langdonor not for the record and see what happens. Whether the transcription will suddenly stop and everything I say after that will be... I could say I'm Olivia Crepin-Leblanc for the record. That's right. That could be even more interesting. However, I'm sorry, it's morning and I've had only one cup of coffee with serious matter. Our next agenda item, ladies and gentlemen, I guess I should call for if there any other matter of work with what is on our agenda, such as looking into our aims and objectives and indeed our new cross-community wiki space, that someone wants to raise in terms of updates since the Buenos Aires meeting. Oh, really, Nora? Is there something from you? Over to you, Laura.
Thank you. This is Laura Bankford. I just wanted to give a very brief update on the web accessibility efforts for ICANN.org. And I'm sure you all know we're working on the at-large website as well. We're launching beta, and we'll talk about that a little bit this afternoon. We're not going to go into great detail this afternoon in the demo on at-large, so I just wanted to give you an update on where we are with our vendor that came out of our RFP last year, Simply Accessible. We have started the effort with them and onboarded them, and during this beta period of the next couple months with at-large, we have identified, believe it or not, over 78,000 links and URLs on the ICANN website. There's less than that on at-large, but we're going to have them start with at-large and going through the links on that website, and that will be part of our overall testing during the feedback period during the at-large beta launch, which we'll be talking about this afternoon. So it is taking us a little bit of while. We're very busy with a lot of demands, as I'm sure everyone knows and is involved with themselves. But I just wanted to give a quick update on where we are with that process. And you'll probably hear over the next couple months as we go through the testing phase for the large website a little bit more about that.
Thank you. Cheryl, for the record. Thank you, Laura. Is there anything we can do to help you in that? Do you want hot bodies to do any of the run-throughs and things?
Yeah, I think overall, in addition to accessibility, we are really strongly encouraging people to use the at-large website. It is live. We're going to talk about that. And so any feedback we have on accessibility, we will be bringing in the testing effort. And you can reach me directly. We do have the digital services wiki out there and the accessibility page on there. And I am on the mailing list here. So I would really appreciate and encourage anybody who has any feedback or can help us with that area. We have a very capable vendor. What I'd like to do is just keep this mailing list apprised of our approach and how we're working with that so we can keep you involved in that effort. Thank you for that.
And thank you. And again, we do know, mainly because so many of us have had the experience of seeing things go from plan into action, how much longer it can sometimes take than is predicted. So I'm sure you don't need to ever apologise for that, because we understand by experience, but to get it right is important. And so let's not rush, let's get it right, and we're happy to help in any way. Is there anyone who thinks I'm misspeaking on that and disagrees with me? Now is the time for a moment of democracy. It doesn't happen much under my control. This is a micro moment of democracy with Cheryl Langdon Orr. Please put this to the record. It's not going to last long. I'd say you've got absolute unanimity that we're here to assist you in any way possible. So keep us posted, and we'd like to. Okay. Thank you very much, Lara. And I suspect you may have to dash off at any point. So don't feel that you need to sit here if you've got somewhere else you've got to be. We appreciate your time, and we do value the work you're doing. Well, let's see. Way back when, in the not-too-distant past, we had a few people and a couple of staff members within the at-large community who were highly passionate, in many cases professionally skilled and experienced, and in some cases, like me, just highly opinionated, verbose and broken, who were very, very keen on matters of accessibility. And an ad hoc working group was created. Since then, it's a little bit like, you know, bees to a honeypot, because it's clear and obvious that it is perhaps not surprising to very many of you, but was surprising to some people in ICANN. Accessibility matters. And accessibility matters across a whole spectrum of things you do in a best practiced organisation. So we've got the work that Chris and his team is doing. We've got this fantastic Laura and all her people are doing. And it's obvious that if you've got a captive group who have opinion and experience, we may be a resource for ICANN to help it become a best practice model in terms of accessibility. There is some simple things getting the website and the material, the media material, up to at least the recognised standards, right? That's pretty easy. There's other things, as we've started this morning, the matters of where people are accommodated and how they are accommodated. But there is more. We need to be aware that as a product of the, and I'm going to hate to bring this into yet another meeting, cross-community working group on accountability, it's pervasive. Diversity is a key focus in the work they will be going on to. In the post-IANA transition work, diversity is a very important part of what that group will be looking at. And, of course, if you're going to ask for diversity, you have to enable, to assist, and to ensure that that diverse group you are now stating you have opened the doors to can actually operate with you and work effectively with you. So getting it right for some of the obvious things, getting the accessibility issues right, as I'm sure Gunilla is tapping her fingers going, Cheryl, are you getting around to universal design by any extent? If you get it right for us, you'll get it right for everybody. And so it actually fits in with a bigger diversity picture as well. Gunilla, I'm very, very keen, and I'm pretty sure I can't see if your hand's up, but let me assume that you will have something to say on that just before we move into our accessibility aims and objectives.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. Gonna last spring for the record. Look, I think the group has moved forward. Certainly, there's me included, a number of people at the table who have been very keen to ensure that accessibility was included in the work of ICANN, to ensure that we have equity in participation in ICANN yes, across the board. And so it's good to see now that we have moved from an ad hoc at large task force to a cross-community committee on accessibility. It is broad in that we debated before, was it to concentrate on people with disability or was it to cover other marginalised groups, and I do note that it is now covering First Nations, a number of groups of disadvantage, and so we need to be very clear if we are doing that, how we do it, because I think there is an assumption that yes, we can do a lot of work within the space of accessibility, disability, and sometimes there's an assumption that that's the key part. So we need to be very clear on that and how we do that. So that's my first comment. Thank you very much, Cheryl.
Thank you, Gunilla, and I think you raised a very important point, which is one I was hoping to get to, so the segue is greatly appreciated. With this matter of diversity, quite clearly, things like disadvantaged, remote, in some cases rural, all of this sort of thing comes into play. And what we may need to do as a cross-community committee is start to think in sectors, start to prioritise what would be nice to have, what would be very nice to have, and what is going to be essential to have, because it's going to be all nigh impossible with the limited resources that we have available, try and be all things to all sectors. But most sectors will find a part or a program or an ability that should be able to assist in some way. So I think what we need to do is just make sure that our aspirations are not just great on paper and theoretically rewarding and make us feel all warm and fuzzy with our core values, but that our aspirations are something that can be converted into practical and cost-effective outcomes. This is this tipping point that happens in so many projects. Very nice to want to be all things to all people, but. So, for example, our work on First Nation and Indigenous populations may come into play specifically when another part of ICANN, fellowship program or specific outreach pilot, is focusing on. So when that's happening, then we should say, and we are here as a resource and as a community if you would like to talk with us, work with us and use us in any way. But I think we need to manage this transition intelligently. I shouldn't have to say this to you all because I'm sure you all know this, but I am saying record because quite often what will happen is it's going to be a Google search on topic and the transcript of what we've said is going to be taken down and held again. So I just wanted to make sure that what we need to do is manage expectations very, very carefully. I saw you agreeing and nodding, Chris. Is that because you've put in your budget and finance requests for 16 and 17 already?
This is Chris Gift. Not for for 17 yet. We're just starting that effort. Yes, I was agreeing. Even with the awareness that everything around accessibility is needed and necessary, our resources, our resource constraints, I think any kind of prioritization will also help. And even, dare I say, and this may be controversial, you know, must-haves and need-haves or nice-to-haves.
Well, Chris, thank you for that. Cheryl, for the record, one of the earlier workshops we did when we were just an at-large ad hoc working group was to look at some of the needs analysis, and that was based on some terrific work that Gunella in particular had done for us and given us foundational exercise in terms of text. And we looked at the priorities and the medium and the long-term likelihood of them happening. We probably should aim to do that exercise again. And so I think one of the most profitable times we have in terms of our meetings and gatherings is the opportunity at these face-to-face meetings. I would like to perhaps propose, and this would be an action item then for our planning, that if you all agree, second democratic moment in one meeting, good heavens, if I get three, someone should help, that If you feel it is worthy of our time and energy, this might be something to do at Marrakech. Charts back up and to work in breakout session, look at the restraints because the budget's going to be different. I know there's been some legal fees paid recently out of ICANN. I don't know whether that makes a difference, but you know, maybe the pot might not be the same as it was last time we checked. And let's do a reality check and see whether we've got some prioritisation and also look at where we are. By that stage, the web work is going to be specifically and significantly advanced. Chris, I suspect by that stage, some of what you're doing and you're doing actually in advance of the pilot program even with the CAP, we'll have some real data points for us to look at. And I wanted to compliment the fact that even in advance of the formal pilot starting, you know, I turn up to Los Angeles and everything's captioned. I went, oh, hail, thank you. So those things we can very quickly get wins on. And if you can show that sort of return on investment, I think helps you maintain those programs. So is it your opinion that we would be well occupied in for perhaps a, dare I say, 90-minute session in Marrakesh to workshop and prioritise and do a needs analysis? Nobody's disagreeing. Let's see, staff, whether we can make that magic happen. Terrific.
Okay, Cheryl.
Go ahead, Gunella.
Thank you, Cheryl. Gunella, for the record. I think it's always good to revisit the particular suggested action items to reprioritise because that was a year ago. I'm wondering if we can do some preparation before Marrakesh because otherwise we're waiting another 5 months or so. And also for those people participating remotely, please keep in mind that someone like me find those particular sessions very difficult if you're not actually in the room. So I just wanted to make that point that I'm keen to take, but It's very difficult to do that remotely. Thank you.
Thank you, Gunilla Sherrill, for the record again. And I would like to very briefly share with you a little experiment we did in the breakout sessions that I was organising for the CCWG on Saturday, where we managed to, admittedly, with humans on board doing the work in the sessions, we had, I think, an admirable integration of remote participants. There was a two-way audio and two-way video. If video was enabled on your end, for example, and one or two of the participants did do that, that it was getting a bit hungry on the bandwidth, so we'll have to watch that in Marrakesh. But what we were able to do was maintain a real video out from the breakout flip chart and group. So if Tijani was speaking, it actually wasn't happening in the group he was in, but hypothetically, if Tijani was speaking, then you were looking at Tijani speak. If your video was on, he could look at you when you did, but it also meant that your dial-in via the Adobe room was able to be heard by the rest of the group as they were working, and by using a mobile phone back out, we just held the mobile phone and the audio out was being fed in successfully. It was a cobble together, but it worked. And I think they're the sorts of things that we can try and bridge those gaps, because I am very aware that remote participation is a difficult thing when you get into breakout sessions. But it worked, and it worked, I think, admirably. So let's see if we can try and plan for that. And with that, I suggest you you talk to Hilary as in staff and James Gannon, because it was Hilary and James Gannon who sat together, and Grace. They did an amazing job on that. We might be able to use that as a tool to access. And that, of course, if we advertise that well in advance, mm-hmm. it also means people will feel more comfortable attending remotely. In terms of your preparatory work proposal, Gunilla, absolutely. And I would suggest that the agendas of the next couple of meetings we have between now and Marrakesh will be devoted to getting some of the groundwork done, maybe even putting out another white paper if somebody's motivated to do so, and to also making sure that there are a pre-populated tables and materials. So what we'll duplicate on the flip chart is already to some extent in the wiki space to understand. Lutz, please.
Sonaga, for the record, as you currently mentioned the various technical solutions, I do really have a problem with Adobe Connect, simply because I do not have a Windows here, do not have a Flash. I do have a Windows phone, but really terrible experience to try to use Connect on the Windows phone, and never will try it again. So please excuse me that I do not join.
Lutz, you're singing a song that many of us have sung before, and I'm a total Android or Ubuntu girl, so I share your pain. Just before I go to you, Judith, which I suspect might be in respect immediately back to Lutz, is it a topic that's new, or is it a topic, Maureen? Do you mind if we go to Judith first? Over to you, Judith.
Yeah, Luz, this is Judith Helding for the record. Yes, we've had people who've tested it on Linux, on Unix and Linux and all that, and they have different workarounds. And we've tested the Adobe Connect with these workarounds in the technology task force. And so we can work with you and help you get one set up correctly so that you can participate. The new editions of Adobe Connect, which are running out through the system, are using the HTML5 protocol and not using Flash. And we hope within a few months that it will be all rolled out in the system and we won't have the same problems we have on Flash. And we know there's a lot of problems on the mobile devices with Flash. And so we are hoping once Adobe finishes rolling it out that these problems will go away.
These are excellent news, and happy to visit the technical group.
In fact, Lutz, I share off the record, I think the technical task force would well and truly benefit from your involvement. Thank you. I, I've I know what talent you have, my dear. Maureen, over to you.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Maureen for the record. The accessibility issues are, of course, pretty heightened in the Pacific. And one very good example is actually with me today. I'd like to introduce you to Priscilla Kevin, who is a member of my board, and this is the first time I met her. She's been on the Pacific Islands chapter of the Internet Society for a year. She is from Papua New Guinea, and we finally meet at an ICANN meeting in Dublin. And one of the things that really is heightened by the fact that I'm really pleased to see her here today, and she's very interested in participating, is the fact that I think of the 12 meetings that we had, since she joined the board, probably only about 3 or 4 we actually were able to make Skype contact. There is no way that Adobe Connect is going to work in Papua New Guinea. We're talking about a country that's sort of like got 7 million people, and there is actually a cable that goes to, there's a cable connection, but it's that last mile that is just, the connection difficulties are horrendous. And despite the fact that every meeting we had, Dilla and Winifred Amini, who is actually also in Papua New Guinea and also on our board, and we're hoping that she will apply next time for a fellowship, because Priscilla's come on as a fellow, to actually understand ICANN in a face-to-face, because it's really difficult for them to engage, online. I understand there are some developments with the telecom there, but it's just such a big problem in that country, and there are so many issues. But I would really just listening, Judith, there may be some way in which we can organise something so that there can be some contact made. But I think that, has got lots and lots of issues, and this is where I'm always going on about the fact that we need to get some assistance to address those accessibility issues, across, and Papua New Guinea is just one of them. But welcome, Priscilla.
Cheryl, for the record, welcome Priscilla indeed. And would you like to say anything? Would you like the microphone for a moment?
Thank you. It's an honour to be here to join the ICANN family now. I'm a new fellow, but I feel like just one day I've learnt a lot of things that I can take back to my country and actually improve the systems and the services there. I particularly came here also about not just accessibility in terms of the links that we get back and connect to the outside world, but also in the disability community, because back in my country and probably in Pacific as well, there's not much bigger representation of our disability community. I'm hoping I can learn something from this discussion and I can take back and implement strategically.
Off the record, thanks, Priscilla. And can I introduce you to Ganella? Because Ganella has been instrumental in a number of ISOC-funded projects specifically within the Pacific on disability. So whilst Ganella, I'm not suggesting that you two brief each other here over the Adobe link, I would strongly recommend that Maureen gives you Ganella's details, because she is a wealth of information and resource, and she's worked extensively in the area, and she has a passion for getting it right in Oceania. So I expect there might be a little opportunity there if that's possible. And after all, that's part of the networking that we need to do here to match resource with welcome. And I hope we can get better connection issues. The low and high bandwidth stuff is important, and we cannot not keep saying. They're also, of course, as we've put up now, you know, the disadvantage. Disadvantage often has a cost issue to it, and I don't want to put Maureen on the spot, but I don't know how much she's had to mortgage her children or sell their kidneys or whatever to keep up with the bandwidth cost requirement from simply following a Microsoft upgrade. But you know, the cost of just staying online in some of these places is really, really scary. And so if we're going to outreach and engage, we need to look at parity of information and message across a number of media sources. It's not impossible to have a prepackaged podcast or a text only. There's smart ways of doing it, right? And we've got people in this room who have experience in helping you get into some of those smart ways. So I really, really cannot stop reminding everybody that everybody doesn't have a, you know, a T100 out of Los Angeles. No, shocking, isn't it? Shocking, shocking. Now, Chris Gift had a little hissy fit earlier, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who aren't in the room, and he flung his name tag across the room in a passionate moment, but he's decided to become Laura, and he needs our attention. Oh, dear, Chris.
Yes, thank you. I can't remember what... This is Chris Gift. I can't remember what disturbed me. Two comments. First, just to comment... respond to what you were just saying, Cheryl, which is I think perhaps it would be good to have a briefing to this group from the IT meetings team, you know, and they can talk about Adobe Connect, the bandwidth. I do know that they have low and high bandwidth for every meeting, but, you know, their definition of low bandwidth is probably going to be very, maybe different. So I think they understand your needs. I think they do, but nonetheless, it'd be good to have that and to have an exchange with them. I'd highly recommend that. The second thing, it's back to your idea of the workshop in Marrakesh, or interactive discussion. And I think it'd also be interesting to have metrics, you know, any kind of data that we can gather, whether it's, you know, website, how many people, what's the accessibility, or how many people are using screen readers and things like that, to, you know, how many people with accessibility issues are coming to the meetings and so on. Any kind of data, I think, would be...
Sounds like a plan, Chris. Let's just do that in the Make It So pile.
I wasn't aware I was volunteering. But maybe
no.
I did.
You were volunteering. It's all right. But let's make it so. Let's have that brief. I would suggest we probably need to look at which month we do briefing in. We'll have to, I assume, find a time when IT and tech staff aren't sitting in the back of rooms supporting us in here or CCWG mania. But yeah, I think we do need to do that that briefing, and that in itself might be something that we should do with Technology Task Force, perhaps. So it seems like there might be a mutualism rather than do duplication of information exchange, do that with the Technology Task Force. So we'll need to reach out formally to the Technology Task Force to see that it can happen. Slowed me down, but I'm not sure how they interpret that. Gunilla, okay, over to you, dear.
Thanks, Cheryl. Gunilla for the record. Thanks, Chris, for your suggestion. And metrics are obviously very important. When it comes to usage of screen readers and so forth in the general disability community, those sort of statistics are very difficult to come by because there's limited information, limited resourcing to collect that information. So I think we need to be aware of that. But... also, it could be useful to get the information about what's happening within ICANN and usage. So we can certainly look at that. Thank you. And can I also mention, since I'm just going to jump in here, Chris asked for feedback about a new app, about meetings, and one of the questions was about accessibility. And I did see responses from people saying, yes, yes, it will. And I don't know if people understood what Chris meant, and I'm not sure either if Chris was looking at accessibility from a point of view of people with disability or access to the product generally. And again, we have terminology issues here. If Chris, you were looking for accessibility for people with disability and people said yes, I'm not sure if they really were checking for that. Thanks.
Chris Gift, that's a very good point, Ganella. I was asking for accessibility with people with disabilities. So you're right, terminology was probably confusing, or their responses are in error. But thank you. And I agree that when you gather metrics, undercounting is probably generally a general problem, counting people with accessibility issues. So we need to be aware of that as well. But, you know, the more I think about this, too, you know, when we're talking about being inclusive and, we have a diverse group of participants, I think maybe we should also think about making these metrics an ongoing thing, sure. You know, to track success and are we reaching the right audience and all that.
Cheryl, for the record, nothing wrong with a bit of evidence-based work, that's for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to now take us to the next agenda item, but just blend. Oh, please, if you're going to just come forward and sit at the table. There we are. Go ahead.
My name is Daniel Dardaye. I work for the W3C. I have a couple of comments and a couple of questions. So we're responsible for the Web Accessibility Initiative, as you probably know. I'm a standard for a web accessibility site. I've been in touch with some of your staff. We started this initiative because we had resourcing actually managed. And we were happy to see that the way you follow all the principles, that was good. And now you're at the stage where you're actually going to implement a lot of stuff to get more engaged with the web accessibility and an expertise view on your career. It's just a public forum. You should send a staff close to your, well, to be. Yeah. Hello. Maybe we've been in touch by email. So I think it's important that advice of people just working on that being specialized. On the terminology issue that, you know, pops right up in my mind, we add this problem again and again. People, when we talk about accessibility, it means accessibility for people with disability. Otherwise, we talk about access, right? Or we talk about usability, which is a different thing. There are usability problems that are, of course, accessibility problems. There are going to be more problems for someone with accessibility issue. But it's important to keep the mission straight. I mean, and I'd like to understand actually if this group is working toward accessibility or access or all of it. Yeah. All of it. Okay. So you have to make the... Yeah, it's prioritized. So in terms of priority, the other thing I wanted to mention, in terms of the web accessibility, you already have a rating system, 1-star to A, 2A, AAA, and that's also something that you have to consider. Finally, I think... there is always a way to measure accessibility. Very hard on the web because by design, people are using the browser. That's the idea. They don't have to buy new client side. So it's rare that the server side would know about it. It's something that is added to the browser. It's hard to see. But in terms of measurement over the years, is that there is this curb cut effect. You know, if you try to measure how many disability with, you know, problem with a wheelchair are using the curb cut on the street, you find that there's very few people. You find a lot of people with business, baggage or women with baby and carriage. They're not, 90% of the use of accessibility solution are by people with no problem in accessibility. So for the web, it's true as well. You know, you save bandwidth if you do an access site. And it's much more intuitive for changing a mobile phone, et cetera. So it's all the benefits.
Well, it's Cheryl for the record. You chose to sit in exactly the right spot, all I can say, because apart from Judith, who's monopolised you at the moment, you definitely need to talk to the ICANN staff who actually have the budget and the ability to make the magic happen. So perhaps later at the transcript we can get back to that deduction. But I'm sure you're all very, very capable of making sure you pick up on opportunity and resource when you've got the time. Laura, over to you, and then I have Garth.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for sitting right next to me. That was very convenient. I want to touch on a couple points. I put in the chat window the link to a wiki that talks a little bit about the Web Accessibility Project and the RFP. And the vendor that we engaged is very experienced, and we went through a very careful selection process to identify that that vendor. I'm very interested in talking to you more. And hello. and also, I wanted to introduce, we have our usability expert, Jeff Salem, sitting across. He's waving. So we very much believe in digital services that usability and accessibility are very lined up. So I'm very interested in getting your card and talk to you further. Thank you.
Evaluation of accessibility, new work coming out of W3C, and very active in the European Commission side.
Thank you, Garth.
Thank you, Garth Norello, Chair. I have to respond to an earlier comment about looking for METs of disabled people attending the meetings. We need to actually have disabled people attend the meetings, and we need to have outreach to those communities. And I've been recommending for a while that we have a keynote-level demonstration at an ICANN meeting of how a blind person uses the Internet. And I think that that will be excused upon eye-opening for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Garth. We won't take the blind deaf community just there yet, but that's also an amazing experience to something that I know Gunilla and I have had the privilege of learning a great deal about in some of the Australian work. It is often only by example that people go, oh, is that the issue? Ladies and gentlemen, seeing no more cards up or people waving to me at this point in time, and with, in fact, no minutes left on the agenda, I really want you to very, very briefly look to the right-hand side of the screen where we have our brand spanking new and absolutely beta Cross-Community Committee on Ability Home. And I'm just going to ask staff to slightly and slowly scroll up so you can get a look and feel. A few stars. Chris obviously is ubiquitous, just like his high-speed broadband, as is Lara. And you know, don't worry about them. No one pays any attention to her. Scrolling up a little bit more, that was me for those who aren't in the room. Very briefly, there's a placeholder with a little bit of background. Our mission and objectives, this is something that we need to, I think, workshop in one of the breakout sessions in Marrakesh and work on between now and then. This is not an unreasonable set of words, but it is an imperfect and certainly I would think only a transitory placeholder set of words. We need to obviously do a bit on this space, for example, the listing of activities, how to join in. And now here I have a problem, you see. I try not to disagree with staff and designers. Pardon me. But for a collaborative, collegial space, why on God's good green earth do we need to highlight committee members? I would suggest, you know, we have moderators and facilitators, but I really don't think we need a shopping list of people who've ever stepped these meetings. I would think that landscape should be used for something more valuable. And then we go down to some reading materials and some important resources. Just at this point, if you scroll a little bit lower, please, keep scrolling and keep scrolling and keep scrolling. And do you hear what I'm saying? And scroll and scroll. That in itself is a problem. We don't want a laundry list landing page. So this is now something that is a very rough start. We need your contributions and your suggestions to make this a magic space. All right, Jeff, is it? Welcome aboard. You hear what even I'm saying about, and we keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Come on. Lost my audience halfway down that page. But we want it to be interactive. We want it to be visual. We want it to be good. And because we want it to be visual, we'd like three or four or maybe even five of you to make yourselves known to staff for your ability to do maybe a 60-second video talking headpiece sometime here. Mm-hmm. Oh, please, I would very value you as one of those people, please, right? That's been voluntold. That happens a lot in ICANN. But if we can have a couple of others, I would think Sirinush, because of the Armenian group that you're an ALS representative for, and two or three more, we just want to have you talking about what you want to do with our cross-community work. Short soundbite. Do it while we've got you here, and that will give us material to populate. Is there anything I've missed, Ariel? She says, yes or no? No, I haven't missed anything. Well, I haven't missed anything important. I will miss all of you until next time we meet. Gunilla, is there anything you'd like to say before we close off?
No, that's fine. The remote participation, moving the camera around to the speaker was very useful for me. Thank you.
And I'm sure tech team that do that very, very well appreciate that. And I agree with you. Remote participation does make all the difference when you can connect visually if that's the only modality you have. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you one and all. We do meet monthly. If you are not on our mailing list, please give your email address to the staff. Thank you. And this session is now closed. Bye for now.